Hello, Mark Lowry here once again with Simon Littlewood at the Riabu exhibition stand at the SME ICC Singapore 2019. A lot of people have come by our exhibition space today fully acknowledging the problems that they're having with getting their invoices paid on time. We've heard so many stories from so many people in all sorts of industries where this is a problem, oil and gas being one, and Simon, software is another. And that's actually a very interesting part, because if you are in the software business, then you'll be able to relate to this very well. Simon, we always talk about getting your invoices paid on time. That is 30 days after, let's say, issuing the invoice, or maybe 60 days, whatever it happens to be. But when do you issue the invoice, right? When is the start date to that 30 or 60 day term? And in some industries, that's not so clear cut.
Yes, I mean, there are industries, generally industries which involve a combination of service and product, where you need to have a very clearly defined set of criteria which allow you to raise an invoice. Let's say it's a big capital project and you're developing something complicated. It might be a software, it might be an engine, it might be some kind of infrastructure development. And because you can't wait till the end, you define a set of points at which you're allowed to raise your invoice.
Milestones.
If those aren't clear, and if they're not clearly met, then you're in trouble, because you can't even start the clock ticking, because your customer will say, well, I'm not too sure about that. So typically, you need to draft an absolutely watertight contract that says, we will have done these things, you will have accepted these things, we will be allowed to invoice this percentage of our fees and expenses. And that needs to be absolutely clear, it needs to be talked through, it needs to be signed. Because if you don't get that right, and I've seen many, many situations where, for whatever reason, that wasn't clearly defined, or it was defined but invoices were raised late anyway, because the people that were doing the engineering and the finance department weren't talking to each other. If you can't even get an invoice agreed and sent, the clock doesn't even start.
Yes. Is it possible to then say, okay, we will meet these certain milestones, these progress milestones, and we will invoice then, or we will latest invoice on such and such a date, irrespective of those milestones are met?
Well, it's complicated is the short answer to that. But here's the thing. It's incumbent upon you as the service provider to make sure that the definitions are sufficiently clear that you can actually raise an invoice. If you leave it to the customer, it's in his interests to dot the I's and cross the T's and equivocate, to leave himself wiggle room. And a classic area of wiggle room is where you have customer acceptance. In other words, well, yeah, but you know, you did nearly all of it, but we didn't like that way you did that thing, and you need to go back. And so it's very important that you write it crystal clear. One of the things we do is we help customers or clients draft these things, because it's very important that they be binary, that word again. So the topic is revenue recognition. When do you recognize revenue? Because remember, when you create an invoice, you're not just triggering a process which results in you getting paid, you're also doing a thing that's important from a compliance and accounting perspective, which is you're recognizing revenue.
Yes.
When do you do it? What criteria do you use to do it? How do you ensure that it's absolutely watertight? And how do you make sure that everyone understands that it has to be done?
Yes. Well, and here's the multi-million dollar question, Simon. How do you do it?
Well, the answer is you don't. This process needs to be led by, typically by finance, because if you let it get led by sales or software development or engineering, chances are they won't really care very much about the acceptance criteria. They'll care about the thing that they love doing most, which is writing code or playing with an engine or building e-towers or whatever it happens to be. So it needs to be controlled. It needs to be written in a contract, and it needs to be signed off by both parties. And above all, you must avoid ambiguity. And the biggest area of risk with ambiguity is where you have some kind of notion of customer acceptance. The notion of acceptance criteria is not unusual in a complex contract, but if you do it wrong and you allow too much wiggle room, then a customer, particularly if a large sum of money is involved, and if it's a capital project, you might be talking about hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars, it's in their interest to equivocate.
Yes. So clearly, when it comes to having your internal engineers or the salespeople involved, you can understand the complexity. But Simon, one of our visitors here at the Riyabu booth was talking about a third party. He was a software designer, he provides software, but the customer won't pay him for the software until the systems integrator, the third party who the customer has hired, has actually implemented the software. So not only is he dependent on his customer for payment, he's dependent on the systems integrator to actually do their jobs. Yeah. And the customer, very rightfully, will be able to say, well, hey, the systems integrator hasn't actually implemented the software, why should I pay you for it?
Well, at the end of the day, it's all a question of what's agreed at the beginning. But I, generally, having done this for 30 years, I can tell you, if you're being paid depends on something that somebody else that you can't control is supposed to do, that is an extremely bad basis for any kind of contractual arrangement. So what you want is you want some kind of arrangement that says that you get billed anyway, that you can bill anyway and get paid anyway, or if it's necessary to tie the two things together, that there's an end date, as you suggested earlier, after which you're entitled to bill irrespective of whether or not somebody else's work has been accepted.
Yeah? Yes. Do you think the customers will accept that?
It's like a lot of things. We always talk about modality. There are certain conversations you can have way at the beginning. If you understand this and you get it out in the open and you get it firmly agreed, it's a conversation you can have at the beginning during the honeymoon period. If you try and have the conversation when the customer already owes you a ton of money, when all the engineers are frustrated because they've been working morning, noon and night for months, that's going to be a very, very hard conversation to have.
Yes. Or maybe should this particular gentleman who dropped by our exhibition stand work directly with the systems integrator and say, I get paid by the systems integrator irrespective of whether they're done with the integration?
Well, whether it's one or the other, he should have done it. He's now in a situation where de facto, he does not have contractual clarity and he's stuck because the customer is disgruntled. Implication of that, not only can he not recognize his own revenue and get paid, customer isn't happy.
Yes.
So he's very unlikely to get future work.
Yes. Yeah. One final point that this particular visitor raised was the issue of the complexity of the contracts. It was very interesting that he said, we don't have these standard service obligations, these SSO agreements, because we're a small company. And we've heard that actually from quite a number of companies in a whole variety of industries, that they say, we're too small to bring this level of complexity to, you know, put the hard word on the client in terms of when we get paid. What's your reaction?
There are two reasons why that's wrong. First of all, it's part of any professional environment to have a proper contractual set. But secondly, one of the things you can do if you're a big service provider and you get into difficulties where the customer can try and wiggle out is if you have a strong relationship and lots of financial power, you can kind of elbow your way in to getting paid anyway. If you're a small company, you can't. If you're a small company, it really does behove you to make it part of your professional environment that you define in the clearest possible terms what you're going to do, what the acceptance criteria are, and when you're going to be paid, and when you're going to invoice, and when you're going to be paid, you know? Because you don't have, you can't fall back on your clout or your prior relationship.
Yeah? Yes. Thank you for those insights, Simon, and leave us your comments. Maybe you have some experience of this yourself. Share that with us, either in the comments box next to this video or on the Riyabu website. We'd very much look forward to hearing from you.